reading of the Word of God together, okay? Well, I want to say that I had some money for the children, but I didn't feel like this was the time to do it. That's why I left it under and started to put it out, and I thought, no, I believe the Lord would have us to do otherwise in the service this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles, if you would please, to the book according to Matthew's Gospel, and chapter number 14. The Lord laid a thought on my heart out of this passage of Scripture I want to try to preach on this morning, use some other Scriptures as well in Matthew, and try to bring the thought that I feel like that God wants us to have today. And you do pray. You know, sometimes things get a little tight around the house of God, and sometimes they loosen up. And they need to be a little loose, and I'd rather see them get a little loose, and even to the degree somebody get in the flesh a little, as I would see them stay tighter than a banjo string all the time. And but somebody said, well, we don't want the fire to get to burning too hot. Well, I guarantee there's enough wet blankets to put it out. Don't you worry about that. And I'll assure you that. All right, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 15. And we're going to put in reading this morning a very familiar passage of Scripture at verse number 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today that I can be in God's house. So thankful today, Lord, that you've given us a Bible, given us, Lord, instruction in thy word on how we can have a prosperous, a blessed, and a joyful life here, and eternal life on the other side in the presence of Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you would die for such unworthy sinners as we. I do pray, Lord, that you'd bless every heart here. Thank you for our visitors today. Make this a special day in their life, I pray. Then those that are sick and here and away from us as well. I ask you, Lord, to touch with the merciful hand of Christ and give them the healing strength that they need. May the balm of Gilead be poured into those that are wounded in soul and spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today to glorify your precious name. Anoint me now with your power and your spirit. Unctionize me, I pray, to preach. Grant me the liberty and help that I need. And Lord, I do pray not only for spiritual help, but physical help this morning as well. And Father, we'll thank you. And we'll praise you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I've had this passage of Scripture on my heart now, for really, to be quite honest about it, for several weeks. And I thought that I'd preach on it to you this morning and maybe use it in somewhat of a different way than I've preached it before. We've all preached on Peter walking on the water and so forth, and how he began to sink when he saw the wind being boisterous and cried out to the Lord to save him. And Peter wasn't crying out to be saved, as far as we know, being delivered from sin, but saved from sinking beneath the wave that had swallowed him up. But I want to take this passage of Scripture, if I may, this morning, give a very brief introduction to what I want to preach on, and then bring the thought to you. But I want to preach today on this thought, some facts of life. There are some things in life that is a fact. There's no way of getting around it. They're truths. They're not just truths, but they're absolute truths. And there's no way that you and I will ever escape some of these truths that I'm going to bring out, some of these facts that I'm going to mention this morning. Now, I want to begin by saying this simply by way of explanation, really. But there are many types in the Word of God. Typology is a great thing. It's a tremendous study to study out all the types, such as the lambs that were slain being a type of Christ, and the ark being a type of Christ, and so on down the line. There's many types in the Word of God. And in doing so, these types, they illuminate the Scriptures to help you and I, to give us, give God's people a better understanding of Christ and also of His redemptive plan that He has for you and I and for His purpose in our particular, in our each of our lives. Now, although the text before us is not a true type, not a true type at all, of our journey of life. It's not a true type of our journey of life, but it is a wonderful illustration of some facts that each of us are going to encounter in this life. There are some things here that no one in this life will ever avoid. You'll never escape them. They're facts of life. They're there, and we're all going to be confronted with them. And I want, like I said, I'm going to be very brief this morning for more reasons than one, unless the Lord helped me a whole lot. But I want to say, first of all, that it is a fact. That all of us must cross to the other side. There's no doubt about it that all of us that are here this morning are going to make that crossing to the other side. That we're going to die someday. And we're going to make a crossing to the other side. Now, there's only two destinations that man's going to. Right. The Bible said in chapter number 7 and verse 13, the Lord Himself said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so there are some people that are going to make this crossing, and that's what they're doing here. They're making the crossing. It's in verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side." Now, I know He's talking about His disciples here, but I'm trying to use this if I can and to bring mankind into view, all of mankind. And there's only two destinations. And the Bible calls one of those destinations, it calls it the broad way. And there are some that are on that broad way. And the Bible said that broad way leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. There's no question about it. It's a broad way, and it says some are on that broad way, and it leads to destruction. "And many there be that go in thereat." Now, I don't believe I need to say it, specify this, but I'm going to. That broad way that leads to destruction is speaking about the way that leads to hell. You know, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there's no question about it that There's a broad way out there that the populace is on.
Right.
And unfortunately for them, they're going to wind up in a Christless eternity in a devil's hell. That is an absolute fact. People that die outside of Christ die and go to hell. A man ought to look unto Christ, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, he ought to look unto Christ that he may escape, from the torments of hell. And there's a hell out there that await man, that die outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a broad way. And it's a popular way. And many there be, the Bible said, that go in thereat. You know, and I'm amazed at people. And people are not very narrow-minded today. They look at others traveling on that broad way, and here is what they're thinking within their heart. Well, if it's all right for them, it must be all right for me. But there's only one problem about that. I'm just simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, that the majority is not always right. I think we live in a world that has the idea that the majority is always right. If the majority says it's right, then it must be right. You know, if the majority says that same-sex marriage is all right, then it must be all right. But I've got news for you. The Bible says that it's wrong, and I'm going to stick with the Bible. You can stick with the crowd. I'm going to stick with Christ. You can stick with the crowd. I'm going to stick with Christ. That's right. I'm sticking with the Bible. And there's it's an absolute fact that there is a broad way out there, it leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. And the reason being is because there's others that are on that narrow way. And the Bible said that narrow way, it leads to life, and few there be that find it. I won't say to you this morning, there's not a doubt in my mind that narrow way is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm telling you, hey, there's few there be that find it, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There will not be a soul ever make their way to heaven outside the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Now, there's a lot on that broad way that's going to hell, but I'm glad there's few on that narrow way that's going to lead unto life. In fact, the Lord Himself said, fear not what? Little flock, for it has pleased the Father to give unto you the kingdom. Boy, what a blessing that is. Amen. Christ is that narrow way. And there's not many people who want to bear the reproach of Christ today. They don't want to bear the reproach of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ today. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to heaven, if you're going on that narrow way, you're going to have to take up your cross every day and follow after Him. Amen. You're going to have, like Paul said, you're going to have to die daily if you're going to make your way to heaven. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. A man that's never been crucified with Christ will never go to heaven. I'm crucified with Christ as ever, nevertheless I live. Now that's something odd. A man is crucified, he's dead, but he's not dead, he's alive. And the reason he's alive is because the life that he's now living, he lives by the faith of the Son of God that loved him and gave himself for it. What a blessing that is. Amen. That's right. And so there's two ways. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. Making that cross. Now, I want to ask you something. Which way are you on? Are you on the broad way that leads to destruction? Can I draw your attention this morning to the depths of the damned? To the realm of the damned? Can I lead you this morning to the depths of the pit, of the abyss, of the fiery furnace? Where there's cries and screams. Oh, Peter cried out for help to be delivered from the water. But I'm telling you, there's people down there that's crying out wanting to be delivered so they can get a hold of some water. There was one man in the Bible, they call him Dives. The Bible doesn't give him a name. But when he wound up in hell, he begged for just one drop of water from Lazarus to drop on the tip of his tongue. But I'm telling you, there wasn't no water available for him. And there will be no water available for a man in hell or a woman in hell that chooses to stay on that broad way. Now I tell you, the shame of it is that Christ hath died for that sinner. Christ has died for that man. Amen. Now I tell you, people today better wake up, folks. God's drawing this thing down to a close. And I'm telling you, there's many that's on that broad way that's leading to destruction. Amen. But there's not many on that straight and narrow way. Amen. You can even go into your churches. I mean, Brother Steve taught a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning, and I wouldn't try to add nothing to it, but he was talking about Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 7 and the Pharisee Simon in chapter number 7 and talking about the one that was the greatest sinner. Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I really wonder in my heart which one of them was the greatest sinner. Oh, somebody said Mary was. She was a prostitute. She was a whorish woman and a prostitute and sold herself out on the street to men. But I'm going to tell you something. Her sins were not covered. And she brought them to Christ. Boy, it's getting quiet now. I'm going to tell you, you cover your sin, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, you cover your sin, you'll die and go to hell. But I'm telling you, the only way that you ever get forgiven of your sin is to pull the cover off like she did when she come to Christ. When she come to the Lord, she let Him know exactly what kind of a woman she was. But she also let Him know that she realized that He had the power to forgive her sin and deliver her from sin and save her by His marvelous grace. And I'm going to tell you, there was another man there that his sin wasn't out in the open like hers. Simon knew what kind of a woman she was. I've often wondered how he knew that. Maybe he'd had some exercise with her. Say amen right there. But I'm going to tell you, what about old Simon? Religious man, Pharisee, knew the Word of God, faithful to the synagogue, faithful to the Old Testament law. And I'm telling you, the letter, are you listening to what I'm telling you? The letter will kill, but the Spirit giveth life. And I'm telling you, it takes that. Somebody said, don't put me in the Old Testament. If you don't, you'll never get saved. It takes the letter of the law. It's the law that the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's the letter that condemns us to die. But thank God, it's the grace of God that delivers us from that sin. Amen. And brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be saved by His marvelous grace. There's two ways. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The broad way is leading to destruction, but thank God that narrow way is leading to life. Which one of them are you on? Amen. Now, that narrow way is pretty hard to travel. You know why? Because it's a narrow way. I just read in the paper where there's some people right here, I believe in Kentucky. Or in the, I thought it was Kentucky. It may not be. But a man and a woman got caught in it, hung in a cave. That's an open cave you can go into, and they let you go into it and explore it. They got hung in it, and night before last, at 1:30 in the morning, they were still chiseling on rock trying to get that man cut loose free. You know why he got trapped? He was in that straight, he got in too narrow of a way. But he might have had on too much luggage. He may have got hung simply because maybe the sole of his shoe was just a little too wide to get through the crack he was trying to get through. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying a lot of people are trying to go to heaven and they're taking too much luggage with them. They're trying to get there with too much baggage. They're trying to carry their sin through that straight and narrow way. And I'm telling you, you can't go through it with your sin, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to meet Christ at the cross, amen, and then enter in at that narrow way. You got to meet Christ out here and then enter in that narrow way. Amen, that's right. That narrow way will lead you right on into heaven. Hallelujah, I just about run my head through a wall this morning, jump up and down and shout. Amen, that's right. I brought one of them little white pills. I told Miss Hall that I might need this morning. Don't know what my blood pressure is going to be. And it was a little high at the house. I got over here and took it before after Sunday school. And I thought, I don't need that white pill. Great day in the morning. It was 176 over 104 sitting down and 164 over 110 standing up. I said, I sure don't need no pill this morning. Praise God. I'm going to jump up and down. Didn't know I want to drop down. Ain't that something? A lot of people move around, their blood pressure goes up. I jump around, mine goes down. Woo! What a blessing. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. But a lot of people are trying to carry too much baggage and luggage. And they're getting hung up. There is room at the cross for you. And nothing else. You got to go, spiritually speaking, to the cross, just like you came into the world, naked. But I can tell you, if you go to the cross clothed, you'll walk away naked. But if you go to the cross naked,
Woo!
You will walk away clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad, thank God, I've got on the garments of salvation this morning. I'm wrapped in a robe of white. Thank God, amen. I've been to Calvary. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the grace of God. Amen. That's, yes, hallelujah. That's right. And I said, you're getting a little wild. You would too, but if you had in you what I got in me right now. Woo! Amen. That's good. That's right. Now listen carefully. There's another fact that we're all going to encounter storms along the way. Every one of us. Again, right in Matthew chapter number 7. The Bible said in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Amen. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon a sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now here they are crossing the sea. They're making their way to the other side. And right out in the middle of the sea, the Bible says they come in, encounter a great storm. A great storm. And there comes Jesus walking to them on the water. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of us in here, I don't care whether you're saved or lost. There's going to be some storms in your life. You better believe there are. Now, I don't know when that storm came up, but I know when they got in the ship, the Bible said the wind ceased. So the wind must have been blowing. Had to be a little storm of some kind there. But I'm telling you, hey, everybody in here are going to encounter storms. I don't care whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Did you notice anything in the scripture I just read? That man that builded his house on a rock, he had the rain, he had the floods, and he had the wind. That man that built his house on the sand, he had the rain, he had the floods, and he had the wind. Two differences. The one of them was on a rock, the other one was on sand. That one was on the rock, stood. That one was on the sand, fell. I want to say, I'm glad I can say to you this morning that when the winds are blowing, when the storms round me are raging, amen, when trouble falls my way, thank God, Brother Andy. Thank God you got your feet on that rock this morning, buddy. You may, hey, there may be a storm in your life today, and the wind is blowing, the floods are coming, but thank God you got those feet on a rock. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. My feet ain't only on a rock. Bless God, my mind's made up. Somebody say amen right there. I'm going all the way with Jesus. People can take that, whether like it or lump it, buddy. I'm going with Him. Amen. One guy that was on that rock, Bob said his house stood. That man was on that sand. When the winds came, the house fell. Now, I never noticed this before in my life. But you know there's a progression there. Do you know rain is good? The Bible said it rained. But there's only one problem. It rained so much it brought a flood. Then it brought wind. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. You know, these storms, they can start out natural. A little rain is good. Good for the garden. I like to have some on my grass over there right now. And a little breeze. Wouldn't a little breeze feel good? Come about Friday when they're saying it's going to get 96 degrees. Wouldn't it be good to have a good cool breeze blowing on you? You know it would be. But I'm going to tell you something. A good cool breeze is good. A little rain is good. But I'm going to tell you, I don't need so much rain that it brings a flood. Now I don't need so much wind that it blows my house down. But the point I'm making here is one on a rock and one on the sand.
both of them encounter the same storm, but thank God that one that's been to Calvary, that one that's born again, that one that got his foot on the rock. Amen. Dig down deep for and get your feet on the rock. Are you listening to me? Get out your spiritual pick and shovel this morning and dig down and get your foot on a solid foundation. I'm going to tell you, there's no other foundation that man can lay other than Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, buddy. You build on Him, you'll stand in the day of the storm.
Better believe you will. What a great God we have.
Amen.
That rain, hey, it started out small. But boy, it wasn't long until it was a torrential downpour.
Amen.
Then the floods came. Now I'm going to tell you something, boy, floods ain't nice. We learned that last year, didn't we?
Amen.
Hey, ain't that right?
Yeah, amen.
They had to blow up dikes and everything else to keep some of the people from flooding out and others from flooded some to save others. And one thing or another, they can be, hey, floods can become terrible. And if all you are on sand, when those floods start coming, you know what they do? A flood will undermine you, friend. I remember years ago, Miss Hall and I was down in Florida and just walking along the ocean. It was late in the evening when the soul out there, but another old man and woman sitting on a little old bench down from us. We was walking right along in the edge of the water, and all at once that thing just gave way. Me and Miss Hall both fell out of that, and we floundered and wallered and twisted and rolled, trying to get it out. And we looked down, and that old man and woman was just giggling and laughing and hee-hawing at us. There we was, floundering around, trying to get up out of that water. You know why? Because that water had undermined that sand.
That's right.
And, buddy, I'm going to tell you, when that sand got a little weight on it, she fell. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you got a house on the sand, when you get a little weight on it, you get a little wave, just a little trouble, just a little storm, just a little calamity of life. Buddy, she's going to fall because she's already been undermined by the flood. And she's washed out underneath. Hey, and get this, it washes out when you don't even know what's going on. That's right. It can get you when you don't even know what's going on. But they both, it's a fact. It's a fact of life that the man on the rock and the man on the storm and on the sand both had a storm.
Amen, right.
And they were identical.
Right.
Identical. Rain, flood, wind.
Amen.
Big difference. The one on the rock stood.
That's right.
The one on the sand fell. But it don't just say it fell. It said in great was the fall of it. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, have you ever seen a family that's failed like that? Great is the fall of it. Man, I've seen people, if they fall that way, man, I'm telling you, they cry out to God, but they cry too late. It comes a time when it's too late to cry to God. You better believe it. You better believe there is. People play around with God thinking it because, and you know what they're thinking? Well, here I am living this life of sin, and I'm that guy over here that goes to church every Sunday, he's having the same trouble that I'm having. Why should I change my life? He'll find out soon. Because his little sandcastle will give way and fall. But the house that we got on that rock ain't going to give way and fall, buddy. She's going to stand on that rock. You young people better listen to me what I'm getting ready to tell you. You better start out young. Get your feet on that rock. Start building your life on the rock. Amen. That's right. Don't get out in that broad way. It leads to destruction. That broad way is the sand. That narrow way is a rock. Get on the rock. Hallelujah. Come to Calvary. Oh, come to Jesus now. Will you not come to Christ today? Can you see him now up Calvary's mountain? One dreadful morn. Won't Christ my Savior weary and worn? Therefore sinners bleeding and sinners pleading carry the cross all the way, ladies and gentlemen.
and laid his life down, but I'm glad it didn't end there. Praise God. Hey! 3 days later, he took her up again! He said, I got the power to lay it down, I got the power to take it up! And he did both. Now I'm gonna say it again, he did both. He laid it down, and he took it up, and guess what? There ain't a creature in this world, on the earth, above the earth, under the earth, got enough power to stop it. It's already happened. It's already done. Salvation's already been wrought. I don't know why anybody'd go to hell. Salvation has already been paid for. Your sins have been paid in full. When Christ died on Calvary, your sins were paid in full, ladies and gentlemen. The only reason somebody go to hell is because they love their sin more than they love God. But it takes the Holy Ghost, as Brother Steve brought out in Sunday school, to open up your eyes to see that like he did that Mary Magdalene. Brother, I'm telling you, she realized what she was. What she was. Hey, you ever realize what you were? And such were some of you. But now you're washed. Now you're clean. Now you're justified. Now you're sanctified. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Aren't you glad Jesus saves old sinners? I am so glad. That songwriter said, I am so glad that Jesus saves old sinners. But I never dreamed he'd save an old sinner, Brother Gray, like me. I could see him saving other sinners, but I don't know why he'd save an old sinner like me. But I sure am glad when he called. I said, amen, Lord, I believe I will. Will you come to me? I said, I believe I will. Will you have life with that more abundantly? I said, I believe I will. Will you have all your sins washed away? I believe I will. Will you have a place prepared for you in heaven? I believe I will. Amen. Are you going to be watching and wait when I come back? I believe I am. Hallelujah. Got my eyes on the eastern sky. He may come any minute. He may come before we get out of here. Brother Andy's sitting there today and he said, I wish Jesus come right now. I said, that makes two of us. I said, let's vote on it. We're Baptists. We've got to vote, you know. I said, let's vote on it. A man be a fool to say, oh, we sing that song. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. I don't want to wait a little longer. Amen. Oh, and come on. Amen. John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. That ought to be our heart's desire. Amen. It's a fact of life, folks, that we're all making a cross in either on a broad way or a narrow way.
That's right.
It's a fact, folks, that we're all either going to heaven or we're going to hell. It's a fact. Don't you believe the Catholics? There's no such thing as purgatory. You ain't going there. Ain't no purgatory. You're not going there. Then I want to say thirdly. It's a fact that God's people make the crossing with the Savior. Notice this now. I like this. That Bible said in verse number 23, and I'm going to expound a little on the text and I'll be done. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. Now, somebody said, well, they wasn't making a crossing with him. Is that right? You know what that mountain represents? He went up on a mountain. And he was there alone. Nobody else around. There ain't but one place I know that can be. That's got to be that throne of grace.
Amen.
That mountain has to be that throne. Somebody said, is he with us? Absolutely!
Amen.
Absolutely!
Right.
You can come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? To obtain mercy. Whoa! And to what? Find grace to do what? Help in a time of need.
Amen.
You in a need this morning?
Amen.
They were in a need. I believe when they got out in that water before Jesus, before they ever saw Jesus, I believe they were saying in their heart, wonder where he's at. I wish he was here. We sure could use him right now.
Amen.
May I say to you this morning that the heart can pray some prayers, boy,
that the mouth and the lips just can't utter. You better believe it. Aren't you glad God looks upon the heart? God knew what they were thinking in their heart when He was on that mountain alone. They were in that sea making the crossing. He knew what they were going through. Can you get a hold of that? Even though He's on His throne in heaven, He knows what we're... I'll just lay it down. You know, man? Huh? Testing. 1, 2. Wake up. Now, I said this. He's making the crossing with us. He may be kneeling on the mountain, making intercession for us. Or He may be walking on the sea. They saw Him walking on the sea and thought He was a spirit, and were fear struck their heart. And the Bible said, He said, "Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I." Hallelujah. Now, get this. He not only may be on the kneeling on the mountain, walking on the sea, He may be visiting His people. Because the Bible said, and I hope I can find it here, in verse 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." He is with us, watch, all the way.
Amen, right.
Whether He be on a mountain praying, whether He's walking on the sea where we're at, or whether He abides in the ship with us, He's always there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, He'll make the crossing with you. I'm going to say, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said He'd never fail me and never forsake me. Buddy, I'm telling you, God cannot lie. He said He'd never fail us and never forsake us. And that's what He meant. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever forsaken you? No, you know He's not. Never has and never will. Bless His wonderful name. Now, He's been there every time I've called upon His holy name. He's always heard. He heard my faintest cry when I'm from the far ends of the earth. When I cried as loud as I could cry. I'm glad He heard the cry. Amen. And came to where I was. I'm sure in their heart, when He was on that mountain praying, I'm sure in their heart they were saying, "Where's He at?" The Lord said, "I'm on the way, gentlemen. I'm on the way. I'll be there before harm." Hey, He got there before harm ever got close to Him. Hallelujah. Old Peter said, "Lord, but You let me get out of this boat and walk on the water." And He said, "Come on, son." Old Peter got out of walking on that water. And I bet he was doing it, probably skipping along. And I'm doing pretty good. But it's all the waves and the wind. And fear struck his heart. He doubted and he began to sing. The Lord... And he cried, "Save me!" How long did it take the Lord to get him? He was one of the Lord's children. Oh, this crowd that says you can lose it. If you could lose it, Peter would drown right there. He didn't drown. He said, "Lord, save me!" I believe the Lord carried him back to the ship. I'd like to have heard that conversation. "Peter, you doubted a little bit, but guess what? I still love you."
Amen.
Peter, now I'm going to tell you something. Now, won't you listen to me, Peter? In the arms of them fellows back there in that ship, you failed. But in the eyes of me, I was just testing your faith a little bit. You passed the test.
That's right.
And guess what? You may have failed in their eyes, but you passed the test in my eyes. And guess what? We're going to make this trip on back to the ship together. And I'm going to tell you some things out here because you have enough faith to get out of that ship and walk. I'm going to tell you some things. I'm going to let you in on some secrets they don't know anything about. They never will know anything about. I'm telling you, get close to God. He'll tell you some things others don't know anything about, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. He'll bring you into a place of grace and glory that others have never been. He'll let those holy feet walk on holy soil in places others have never been. He'll let you lay your head on the bosom, His bosom, and listen to words that others have never heard. And a heartbeat that others have never heard. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, be done here in just a second. He was just trying Peter's faith. I'm going to say fourthly, and I'm done. It's a fact that all God's people find safety.
Amen.
In the crossing. He's never lost a war, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that have come to me, he said, I have lost none save the son of perdition. And he was already appointed to that thing by God Almighty. He said, I ain't lost a one.
Amen.
He said, they're right there in my hand. I've heard people say, I've told people this. I said, well, the Bible said, Jesus said that no man can pluck them out of my hand. And said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now I've heard people say, well, said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now I've heard people say, yeah, but you can pluck yourself out. I said, what? I thought you, are you a man or what? Or you must be a toad or a frog or something.
Amen.
He said, no man.
Right.
No
man.
That includes you, sir, ma'am. To start with, his hand is too big for you to find the edge of it.
Amen.
They talked about Columbus sailing across the sea and sailing off the edge of the world. Ain't no danger of sailing across the edge of the world, and ain't no danger of falling off his hand.
Amen.
His hand is so big that it scooped the dust out of the earth to make the oceans.
Amen.
Pretty big hand, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
For a little bitty fellow like me to be wandering around then anyway. You never know. Them rivers may be the... Maybe them little lines in his hand, Brother Andy. He lets us swim. I better not get into that. Y'all think I'm crazy or a lunatic.
Amen.
But when our faith is small, verse number 30 and 31, he said, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? When our faith is small, it's a fact that we're still safe. When fear strikes our soul, it's a fact that we're still safe. The Bible said that when they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And here's what Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. I know you think you're going under, but be of good cheer. Now, folks, if you get, come on now, don't leave me now. If you can get a hold of that, it'll help you, I'm telling you.
That's right. Amen.
Be a good cheer. You think you're going under. Be a good cheer. Then he said, be not afraid. And then you know why they could be a good cheer and why they didn't need to be afraid? He said, it is I. Woo! Thank God it was Jesus right there, right on time, all the time, every time. Never was late, never was early, right there when he ought to be there.
Amen.
Somebody said, when was he there? Can I tell you the fourth watch of the night? You know what the fourth watch of the night is? I believe it's from 4 to 6. Is that right or not? 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., I believe. Is that right or not? 3 to 6. Well, it's the 6. You know what happens at 6 o'clock, don't you? And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from our eyes. He come to him on the fourth watch of the night. And the Bible said, and when they come to land, in that fourth watch of the night, they were in safety when they finished the course. Yes, sir. From point A to point B, buddy. It is a fact. It is a fact of life. They made it.
Amen.
They made it. Now why? As Dr. Tyler says, would God tell us they made it, then cast us aside?
Right.
Oh no, because they made it, we're going to make it.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm saved by the grace of God and I'm going to heaven someday.
Amen.
And by the way, that's a fact.
Yes, sir.
There are some facts of life.
Yes, sir.
There are some absolutes.
Amen. Amen.
I've heard people say there's no absolutes in this life. They're nuttier than fruitcake.
Amen, amen, amen.
Most of that comes out of the media. They're stupid anyway.
Yep. Amen.
All of them.
Yep.
They're a bunch of morons, and you can tell them I said so.
Amen.
People said, well, preacher, you oughtn't to talk that way. You're a man of God. What, do you want me to lie? I'd rather tell the truth than to lie.
Amen.
Even if the truth sounds a little... Even Jesus, when they said, Herod's are watching you, Jesus said, go tell that old fox!
Amen.
And today I do miracles. And tomorrow I'll get up!
Amen.
He wasn't playing with the fox.
That's right.
He knew exactly what he was saying.
Amen.
And what about that? There's some facts of life, folks.
Right.
That we're making the crossing. And he'll not leave us and depart from us until we reach the other side. Now, I could go on into typology and say when they got there, they turned around and come back. When we get there. 7 years later, you know what we're going to do?
Yes, sir.
We're going to turn around and come back. That's right. Great God. I want to ask something. If you're here this morning, are you saved? Are you on that broad way that's leading to destruction? Or are you on that narrow way that leads to life? Let's stand together.